Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. Let's start with this. Tropical Storm Hillary making landfall. This is what some of the heavy flooding in Mexico looks and sounds like right now. Now, I want you to see what the storm looks like at this moment. This is a live look at San Diego, where Hillary is expected to bring several inches of rain. You can see some of the rain on the camera lens there and dark clouds moving right on in. And this is a live look at Santa Monica. A whole lot of rain on the camera lens there. The camera even starting to shake from the wind. As Jen Sullivan reports, it's much more than California bracing for this storm.
Tropical Storm Hillary already impacting Southern California's coast Sunday, dumping heavy rains across the state. The storm causing catastrophic damage in Baja California, Mexico, now bringing damaging winds of up to 70 miles per hour and triggering flood warnings from San Diego up to Los Angeles. Some areas could see up to 10 inches of rain. Officials warning people to take cover.
Stay safe, stay home, and stay informed.
The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office taking to the skies in low-lying areas, warning unhoused residents of the extreme danger. In San Diego Saturday, the U.S. Navy moving naval ships out to sea to avoid the storm's wrath as it hits the coast. Meanwhile, on land, residents collecting sandbags to protect their homes from possible flooding and high tides.
I've lived here for 30 years, and it has steadily gotten worse with when we have rain showers.
But some residents scrambling last minute to grab sandbags were out of luck in Long Beach, California.
Everybody's running out of sandbags.
Crews in the LA area creating walls of sand to block the high tides from reaching buildings and homes along the water. But it's not just the Golden State that will be impacted. Southern Arizona and Nevada also expecting flooding.
We're activating all of our crew to bring supplies, start thinking about shelter positioning and ensuring that we have enough resources for the communities in the area.
Jen Sullivan, WRAL News.
Let's bring in WRAL's Anthony Baglione now. Anthony, where is this storm headed next?
Well, we saw it make a landfall earlier, Julian, this afternoon across Baja California. It's continuing to push up to the north, though, at 23 miles an hour currently. So it's actually moving at a fairly fast clip, thankfully. But the biggest impacts, of course, that we're going to see from the storm system across the west, definitely going to be in the way of flooding. They're talking about, unfortunately, some catastrophic flooding in some areas. There is the current track, though. It is a tropical storm expected to pass just to the east of Los Angeles as a tropical storm. That in and of itself is very rare for this time of year or just any time of year to see a tropical storm in this part of the country. 40 mile an hour winds there as it approaches Las Vegas and then continues to weaken as it gets into Nevada. We do, though, have tropical storm warnings across a large chunk of Southern California right now. Los Angeles, Palmdale, Oceanside, all of those blue color contours is where we have tropical storm warnings in place right now. Very, very rare here, of course, to see, like I said, this storm system in that part of the country. Closer here to the Atlantic, we're talking about a newly named system here. This is Tropical Storm Franklin. This is in the Caribbean as we speak. Really kind of looking like a potent storm system at this point with 45 mile per hour winds. The good thing with this one, though, is we see that current track from the Hurricane Center unfortunately going to go over portions of Hispaniola there, but then push out to sea as it regains there, or at least strengthens, Julian, to a Category 1 hurricane. We are very, very busy here. This is not the only storm system we're talking about. We'll go over the rest here in just a few minutes.
All right, we know you are watching it for us. Thank you, Anthony. Let's go to some breaking news right now in downtown Raleigh. Police are on the scene of a reported shooting on Shades Place. This is a live look from the breaking news tracker. Now look for updates on WRAL.com and WRAL News on Fox 50 at 10 o'clock tonight. A group of people in Raleigh wants tighter punishments for those who illegally distribute fentanyl. They rallied outside the state capitol this afternoon. WRAL's Carly Haynes is there right now with the bills they're calling on lawmakers to pass.
Julian, there were several dozen people at the rally here this afternoon. It was led by people who have lost loved ones to a fentanyl overdose. They want to see these bills passed, Senate Bill 189 and House Bill 250. Now, if passed, the bills would broaden who would get criminally prosecuted for dealing fentanyl. Right now, North Carolina is one of the states in the country that has a death by distribution law. That law allows district attorneys to prosecute people who sell drugs that lead to an overdose death. But these bills that are currently in the state legislature would modify North Carolina's death by distribution law so that people would get criminally prosecuted not just for selling these drugs, but for distributing them in general, even if there's no money involved.
They would see the person who killed their son or daughter or wife or cousin in the courtroom. And that, there's just no words for that.
Both of those bills are currently in each chamber's Rules Committee. Now, according to the North Carolina Office of the Medical Examiner, there have been nearly 14,000 fentanyl-related overdose deaths just in the last 9 years. Julian.
Carly Haynes reporting live in Raleigh tonight. Thank you. Police in Charlotte shot and killed a man they say stabbed an officer in the neck and shot a woman. It all began as a domestic dispute call. But when police got on the scene, they heard shots from inside the home. Officers forced their way in. There was a struggle inside, and a suspect stabbed an officer and was then shot and killed by another officer. The wounded officer and the woman who was shot had non-life-threatening injuries. A large number of Raleigh firefighters were battling flames this morning at a home on South Blunt Street next to Shaw University. WRAL video editor Marika Daniels saw it this morning and captured this video that you're seeing here. Now, firefighters shut down the southbound lane of that busy street for a while as they worked to get the fire under control. The home had heavy damage. No word yet on what caused it. There are no reports of injuries. Responders rushed a disabled woman to the hospital after a fire broke out in Newton Grove. It happened at a mobile home on Daybreak Lane. Firefighters tell us the woman made it out onto the porch and neighbors helped her escape the flames. She suffered burns and is in the hospital tonight. No word yet on her condition. Wake County Public Schools says they have a way to cover all bus routes by the first day of school, but not everyone is on board with this plan. The district is staggering pickup and drop-off time, so some kids could miss the start of the school day or get home late. One parent told WRAL's Laura Levine her son's route is one of the worst because it's one of the longest rides on the list.
8 days. That's how long Wake County Public School students have until the first day back in the classroom. And all the jitters are setting in.
Cooper, what are you looking forward to the most this school year?
I'm probably looking forward to seeing my new teachers are. And see some of my friends that I haven't seen in a long time.
But this year is starting off with a whirlwind of emotions as this first test has parents stressed, fearing if the new bus route schedules will do more harm than good.
It was a bit of a surprise to hear that they'd be missing up to about 30 to 40 minutes of what they call instructional time in the morning.
Chris Johnson's son, Cooper, is a student at Dillard Drive Middle School in Cary. This map shows where his bus stop is on Lockwood Drive, and here's the distance from the school.
And then to get to school half an hour late when we live about 2 miles from school is not really acceptable.
He shared his bus route schedule, which shows his bus starts its route at 7:47 a.m., with Cooper's stop being the ninth out of 18 stops. He'd get to school around 8:40 a.m.
And this puts a strain on all of those. And in the morning, the kids rely on that extra time during what's called dragon time, which is the beginning of the school day, to catch up, do special assignments, special projects.
And in the afternoon, school ends around 3 o'clock. His bus route doesn't start drop-offs until 4:40. He says this impacts extracurricular activities for kids and work for caregivers who don't have flexible jobs.
I think they need to look at potentially alternative modes, outsourcing those last couple routes that can't get there that half hour before. I believe there's a minimum numbers of instructional hours that are required per school. And now the students, I don't believe, would be meeting that.
According to Wake Schools, about 3,000 other students are in the same boat.
I want to be able to show as much grace to those that were involved in the decision because I know how tough it is. But please just take into consideration how it does impact all families.
Laura Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
Laura left us with some more information. The district has 560 drivers, enough to cover all routes with this adjustment. However, more than 300 drivers are still needed to be fully staffed. You know what sounds pretty good for back to school? A fresh pair of sneakers. How about that? 300 children showed up at an event today in Durham to get just that, and they walked away with a free pair of kicks. hear from the man who made it all happen. Plus, soccer fans fill a Carey Theater at 6 o'clock in the morning. A unique early morning experience to watch the World Cup. Welcome back. A company in North Carolina dumped massive amounts of toxic chemicals into the Cape Fear River for decades. The drinking water supply for hundreds of thousands of people. That's what we're talking about. These forever chemicals also contaminated the air and groundwater surrounding the plant. We first learned of the contamination 5 years ago, but thousands of people are forced to use contaminated water today. It's one of the most pivotal contamination stories in the United States and the subject of our latest WRAL doc, Forever Chemicals, North Carolina's Toxic Tap Water, airing this week on WRAL. WRAL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance and WRAL environmental reporter Liz McLaughlin teamed up to show what's happening in these contaminated areas.
You know, how has the contamination impacted your life?
Terribly. I have cancer. My dog has cancer. It's a true living nightmare. My doctors in Duke actually told me if I drank out the tap, it would make my cancer worse than what it is right now.
They can't tell me it's not harming the people.
I feel like they're waiting on us to die. Oh, they'll stop. They're going to die. So it doesn't matter. No.
Our WRAL doc team shines a light on how this contamination happened and highlights demands from families who want to know if drinking toxic water for years has led to health problems, including cancer and birth defects. You can watch Forever Chemicals, North Carolina's Toxic Tap Water, Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. on WRAL or on the WRAL.com website or on WRAL.com YouTube page at 8 p.m. Plenty of kids in Durham received a new pair of sneakers for free ahead of the new school year. That's so exciting. The nonprofit Ron in Sports collects hundreds of pairs of shoes to donate to children in need. RNS President Sherrod Johnson handed them out at Greater Emmanuel Temple of Grace for what he calls Project 300 Community Day.
For 5 years, I taught 8th grade English, and our kids would come in with soiled clothes, beat up shoes. And so I just wanted to make sure that we, as a community, didn't complain about stuff. We just made it happen. We're going to keep doing it as long as we can. I mean, it's all about the kids.
Oh, he's making a difference. What a wonderful tradition. We're sure Sherrod made a lot of kids very happy today, judging from the smiles we saw earlier in those videos. Look at those kicks. Nice as well. All right, the Women's World Cup wrapped up this morning with Spain taking a 1-0 win over England for the championship. Soccer fans met in Carey's of Paragon Theater at Fenton for a watch party. The time difference meant that these football fanatics were up at daybreak.
It's nice and early, 6 a.m. start, and we're all here in our pajamas.
So much fun. Carey's own professional women's soccer team hosted the event. And we're also told NC Courage had 6 players participating in the Women's World Cup this year. Congratulations to everyone involved. Anthony, it looks beautiful out there, but it was a warm one today.
It was, yeah. We saw the temperatures as opposed to yesterday climb up just a little bit. And tomorrow, Julian, and Tuesday, we are really going to feel it. Those feels like values back in the low 100s for us. So we had a bit of a break here yesterday and starting the weekend off, but the heat is definitely back big time for us tomorrow. Let's take a live look, though, right now. Beautiful out there, Lake Aston. You can see there's a boat off in the distance. Really no clouds to speak of, no issues for us tonight. It is, though, feeling pretty hot in some areas. We have a heat index value right now of 100 in Goldsboro, 99, very close to 100 in Clinton, 95 in Raleigh. So certainly those temperatures have come up, and we expect them to stay warm here through the rest of this evening. Mostly sunny, though, for us here the next couple of hours, 87 at 7 o'clock. We drop into the mid to upper 70s by 11, and then out the door tomorrow morning, probably waking up around 70 degrees or so. There's where we're headed this week, though. So no big storm systems on the way. We really could use some rainfall, but we just are not managing to squeak any of that out this week. Our normal's 88. We're going to be above that both Monday, Tuesday. We get a cold front that comes through. That'll drop temperatures a little bit Wednesday, Thursday, and then back up at about 96 there as we head into later this week. Humidity-wise, though, thankfully not feeling too off the charts. I think it'll be very close to that tropical category the next couple of days. There's where that front comes through. You can kind of clearly see that there Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it goes back up. So no big concerns for us this week. It's just definitely a very summer-like like pattern. We are very, very active, though, right now in the tropics. So I want to spend some time here talking about the multiple systems that we have right now. Of course, the big focus, Tropical Storm Hillary. This has thankfully weakened a lot, but we are still expecting big time impacts for our friends out in California. Los Angeles, you can see all of this moisture getting pumped up into Southern California. Winds are at 60 miles an hour right now. It did make landfall earlier today along the Baja Peninsula, and it continues to push up to the north. It's going to continue to weaken, but flooding is going to be the biggest threat we're watching from this one. Los Angeles, the center of this right to the east of there, passing through Las Vegas, though still is a tropical storm, and then weakening as it gets closer to the state of Nevada here over the next couple of days. This evening, though, we also saw Tropical Storm Franklin outlined. It's actually a pretty robust looking system there on the map. This is the Caribbean. We go back toward the Dominican Republic, Haiti, and that's kind of right where this is located. Winds are at 45 right now, but we put on where the hurricane center thinks this is going to track. Going to take a little bit of a diversion here over the next couple of days and then become a Category 1 hurricane by the time we head into Thursday and Friday. It is likely to stay out to sea, though. There's going to be an area of low pressure that kind of just kicks this out of the way, thankfully. We will continue to watch that one, though, pretty closely. If that wasn't enough, we also have Tropical Storm Emily. This is way out in the Atlantic, 50-mile-per-hour winds right now. Thankfully, again, going to stay out to sea as likely a tropical storm the next little while and then fizzling out here into Thursday and Friday. So that one, thankfully, is going to stay pretty weak. And then Tropical Depression 6, likely to fizzle again here this upcoming day or so. That's the track. That's it. So it stays a tropical depression here for us today, a remnant low pressure system there by Monday. There is an area we're also watching in the Gulf of Mexico. Could bring some very much needed rainfall, actually, along the Texas coastline, even up toward Louisiana. Chances are at about 60% at this point, so we don't expect that one to become anything big, impactful as far as a hurricane, but it could bring, again, some meaningful rainfall in that part of our country. Other than that here, check out how quiet we are back at home. Thankfully, 97 for us tomorrow, 96 on Tuesday, 88 there Wednesday. We're at 89 on Thursday. Our next chance, Julian, I know people are hoping for at least some rain. It looks like it will come in next weekend, Saturday night into Sunday. We'll be watching.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. Casey, we have Bryce Young, but we've got to protect him, right?
Yeah, well, you know, and here's two preseason games in, right, and everybody loves overreaction because it's that time of the year, right? Well, fans watching the Panthers preseason game on Friday, well, they were hitting that panic button on Akemi Kwanu. Well, let's see what coach thinks. Plus, with World Cup players returning to the Courage, how does that affect the roster? Got that coming up next. When the World Cup opened a month ago, everyone had their eyes on the history that could be made. The U.S. women going for that three-peat, something that had never been done. Instead, for the first time since 2011, a new nation would be crowned World Cup champions. But you know what? There would still be some history made. Let's get you out to Sydney, Australia. England taking on Spain, who is just 4 years removed from winning its first ever World Cup game, now playing in the final, 29th minute. No score. Olga Carmona takes it to the bog, buries it far post. A brilliant strike gives Spain the lead. Same score, 105th minute in stoppage time. England with the corner. Kata Cole grabs it and holds on. England stunned as Spain makes history, winning its first ever Women's World Cup. Well, with the World Cup wrapping up, players have been making their way back to Kerry to join the NC Courage as the NWSL League play picks back up tonight. The challenge for head coach Sean Nahas is working those players back into the lineup. Nahas has to consider things like extensive travel, plus that workload from those players returning. Meanwhile, here at home, we've got players who had stepped up during the World Cup, and they've really elevated their game. It's great for depth, but now he has to manage a roster that's not as simple as just plugging their World Cup players back in.
It's a day-by-day process, but you know, I just finished telling the group that the minutes that these players have logged is only going to help us, and now they know they can, we know they can be called upon when needed, but there's no set. This is our group, and this is the group that won't get rostered. So we only have 7 games left in our season minus the semifinals of the Challenge Cup, so each week's going to be different, you know, but we have to be careful so that we don't lose players long term. So everyone will be called upon when necessary.
Now the ladies are out in Oregon tonight taking on Portland. The Courage sit atop the NWSL standings, just 1 point ahead of the Thorns. First touch at 10:30 p.m. tonight. Former Pack stud Akemi Kwanu progressed and then impressed in his rookie season. So there's that high standard for the former 6th overall pick at the left tackle position. But Friday night's 21-19 loss to the Giants was a second straight preseason outing that showed some weakness in his pass blocking. This one here leads to Kayvon Thibodeau blowing by, and that gets the sack on Bryce Young. Now, according to Pro Football Focus and two preseason games, Icky has allowed 3 pressures and 18 dropbacks, and he's currently has the lowest pass blocking grade of any Panther alignment. The head coach, Frank Reich, isn't here for any of that overreaction. He says he's got a lot of confidence in Icky.
I have no concerns about him playing winning football and being one of the true anchors to our offensive line. And what he's, you know, the year he had last year, the training camp that he's had, I think not only is he going to be a really good player for us, I think he's going to be a good leader. You know, we have had a couple, you know, we had a couple miscues that he's been involved in, but, you know, those things will get worked out.
Well, join me tonight for another edition of Sports Extra, the day's top stories. Plus, we're going to take a look at some great features that we aired last week. We got it all on Fox 50 following the 10 p.m. news. And some good news. Patriots rookie cornerback Isaiah Bolden was released from the hospital this morning after suffering a frightening injury last night versus the Packers. The league decided to call off the game, of course, due to precautions. But, Julian, just a great sign to see him out of the hospital today.
Yes, we are glad to see that. Thanks, Casey. And thanks for joining us tonight. NBC Nightly News is next. Our next newscast is tonight at 10 on Fox 50.